for Monday, July 26th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Greetings, I'm Lance Lucky with a look at this morning's top news, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Bob Henley previews President Obama's upcoming trip to New Jersey. Plus, Kathleen Horan catches up with the official historian of Brooklyn. But we'll start with this morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
BP CEO Tony Hayward is out, in large part due to gaffes that added insult to oil spill injury for the Gulf Coast. Managing Director Bob Dudley will take over if approved by the Board of Directors, as expected. Dudley inherits the daunting tasks of cleaning up and paying for the disaster while trying to convince the U.S. government and the public that BP is committed to safety. In Afghanistan, the Taliban claim they've killed a U.S. sailor and kidnapped another as NATO forces ramped up a massive search for the servicemen who went missing 2 days earlier in an area held by the militants. Meanwhile, as fighter jets buzz the skies and submarines cruise underwater, a flotilla of American and South Korean warships, led by a nuclear-powered U.S. supercarrier, began exercises that have infuriated North Korean officials. U.S. officials deny North Korea's claims that the maneuvers off Korea's east coast are a provocation, but they say they are meant to send a strong message in response to the sinking of a South Korean warship in March that killed 46 sailors. In Germany, the blame game follows the love parade. The popular techno dance festival in Duisburg drew 1.4 million young people to an old freight railway station that police said could only handle 300,000. At least 19 people died and more than 340 were injured Saturday after a gate was closed, resulting in mass panic and a suffocating crush of people. Police blamed city officials and the festival's organizers, who later announced that the event would be permanently discontinued. Here at home, Governor Patterson will force the legislature to reconsider some of his ideas that they've already rejected. He's put out his agenda for the special legislative session he's called for Wednesday. Items include his proposed cap on local property taxes, a plan to allow public universities to set higher tuition without legislative approval, a tax on sugar products, and an authorization to sell wine in grocery stores. The Democrat-led Senate needs to approve a single revenue bill to complete the budget, which is now almost 4 months late. Meanwhile, President Obama returns to New Jersey for the first time since last October when he came to support Governor Corzine's re-election campaign. WNYC's Bob Henley has more.
Few details have been released, but the president is coming Wednesday to Edison in Middlesex County to talk about the economy. Back in 2008, President Obama easily carried Middlesex. A year later, it had become Republican Governor Chris Christie's territory. The president's visit comes on the heels of a discouraging analysis from the New York Federal Reserve Bank that New Jersey lags behind the rest of the region in emerging from the prolonged recession. Looming public sector layoffs and the ongoing consolidation of the pharmaceutical industry continues to hobble the pace of new job creation. Polls indicate the president has lost some ground with independent voters, but still has traction with his base Democratic voters. No doubt this presidential visit is all about motivating that base to start working now to boost voter turnout come November. For WNYC, I'm Bob Henley.
The MTA will outline its proposal for yet another fare hike this week as it unveils its preliminary budget for next year. WNYC's Matthew Sherman has more on that.
The state legislature and governor agreed last year to allow the MTA to increase fares by roughly 8% in January. That will raise an estimated $400 million and make up for the authority's rising operating costs. But the specifics of how transit officials plan to get to that number could set the stage for another political fight. A series of public hearings will take place this fall, and the hikes could well be tweaked before they go into effect in January. The MTA is expected to propose increasing the cost of monthly passes faster than pay-per-ride cards. Another change, previously unlimited monthly and weekly cards may now become limited, allowing people to use them for only 3 rides a day on average. Tolls on the MTA's bridges and tunnels are also expected to rise by close to 10%. For WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.
Take Taking a look at today's calendar, later today, President Obama holds an event on the White House South Lawn to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And here in New York, the city's Commissioner for People with Disabilities, Matthew Sapolin, Broadway producer Daryl Roth, and executives from advocacy organizations mark the anniversary as well, with a Lincoln Center event this morning featuring a performance by Four Wheel City, a hip-hop duo in wheelchairs. The city's transportation commissioner, Jeanette Sadiq Khan, views the replacement for the 109-year-old Willis Avenue Bridge as the new 350-foot span passes beneath the Brooklyn Bridge, transported from Jersey City to the Harlem River by two barges. The Commerce Department releases its monthly report on new single-family home sales, and this evening at 6, the city's Charter Review Commission continues its public hearings on the 8th floor of the Adam Clayton Powell Jr. State Office Building on 125th Street in Harlem. They promote landmark preservation, give tours, and track down century-old documents. Their positions are mandated by state law, but they don't make a penny for it. They're the city's five historians, one per borough, and we're meeting each of them this summer. Brooklyn Borough historian Ron Schweiger has been training all his life for this position. WNYC's Kathleen Horan recently caught up with him.
Follow me.
Ron Schweiger opens the door to his Flatlands home with a T-shirt hanging off his lanky frame that reads, "Where are you at?" It lists all the zip codes of Brooklyn. He's 11234. Any day of the week, Schweiger can be seen sporting Kings County-inspired attire. Then there's his house.
This is the way it was when we moved in 24 years ago.
You could call the decor mid-century Brooklyn.
The couch is called the Brooklyn Afghan. Embroidered on the blanket is the Brooklyn Academy of Music, the parachute jump, the cyclone.
The whole place is crammed with books, photographs, documents, all kinds of ephemera that celebrate the borough.
Just pardon the mess down here. This is one of my summer projects.
But in the basement, Schweiger keeps his most prized artifacts.
Would you say this is a shrine to the Dodgers?
Kind of. I mean, I was 12 years old when they moved to California. And I just look forward to every baseball season and to go to Ebbets Field.
It's more like a Dodgers museum, with just about every speck of wood paneling covered with memorabilia, including a 1955 championship picture with 14 player autographs. The boyhood passion for his local team was like a gateway drug for all things Brooklyn. The 65-year-old retired science teacher and amateur meteorologist was born in the Gravesend neighborhood and has lived in Brooklyn ever since.
Like me, he's a lifelong Brooklynite.
That's Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz, who first met the other Mr. Brooklyn in the late 70s and appointed him to the post 8 years ago.
I'm impressed with the fact that I've been to his home a number of times, and it's like a miniature Brooklyn museum full of all sorts of memorabilia. He calls himself Mr. Brooklyn, and that's okay. I'm proud to share the title with him, that's for sure.
Schweiger became an expert on the borough several decades back when he began photographing Victorian Flatbush and comparing the contemporary shots to vintage images. He now has more than 3,000 slides made from the antique postcard collection he's amassed and is often asked to give slideshow presentations about specific locations.
There are people that live here all their life and they don't know the first thing about the neighborhood they live in. And part of what I do as the borough historian is to give them the knowledge of why is your street named after that person? Who was that person?
Even historians play favorites. Of any time in Brooklyn's long past, he'd choose the turn of the century to visit if he could.
Going back to Coney Island, when it was thriving with three major amusement parks, Dreamland, Luna Park, Steeplechase Park, Brooklyn had three horse racing tracks, the Sheepshead Bay track, the Brighton Beach track, the Gravesend track.
Would you bet the horses?
Would I bet the horses? Only up till 1910. Because after that, betting was prohibited at the racetracks. And two of the three tracks went over to automobile racing. And believe it or not, at the Sheepshead Bay track and the Brighton Beach track, Mr. Louis Chevrolet raced his car. He went on to do bigger and better things after that.
For Schweiger, bigger and better is only more of the same. He eats, sleeps, and breathes this borough. And when it's all over,
I'm never going to leave Brooklyn. Now, I hope it doesn't happen for a very, very long time. But we bought a plot in Greenwood Cemetery, all right? And it's very close to Charles Ebbets, so we're going to talk baseball.
In the meantime, throughout the summer, you can find Schweiger and his wife sitting just off the first baseline at most Brooklyn Cyclones home games. For WNYC, I'm Kathleen Horan.
And all this week, Ron Schweiger will be answering your most pressing and challenging questions about the borough of Brooklyn. To post yours, see pictures, and hear audio about some of the borough's unforgettable moments, visit our website at wnyc.org/history. And there's just enough time for today's Gig Alert. Probably isn't a better place to listen to this band, Magic Kids, than on a boat on a warm July night. This track is called, appropriately enough, Summer. Tonight, the indie pop rock outfit will play aboard the Half Moon as it sails along the East River. To download this song and more from other artists playing this evening in the city, go to culture.wnyc.org. You can learn more about all the stories you've heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, wnyc.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Monday. Touch with you. Is it true?